Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
It's not about how many that you own. It's about what those properties actually do for you, you know, and how much income that they bring to you.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tarun Shum. In this episode, we're speaking to Mark Sherwood from My Property Empire. Having successfully built his own portfolio after years of experience in sales, building, and real estate, Sherwood shares with us his unexpected property journey, illustrating that despite whatever obstacles life may throw your way, determination can always bring success. No stranger to the property investing world, Sherwood tells us what he does to pass on his knowledge to those eager to get started in investing.
I'm Mark Sherwood. I'm from My Property Empire, and I mentor students about building a strong portfolio.
With a number of his trainees under his guidance, he explains that his schedule is packed with assisting others in expanding their knowledge about real estate option contracts.
Well, at the moment, I'm really busy because I'm actually doing some property options at the moment out near Liverpool. And I'm also training some people to build up knowledge about options and option trading and how it all works. So I've got teams in Perth, Adelaide, Brisbane, Melbourne, and Sydney, and we go out and find deals, and then I turn them over into development sites for them.
Looking into the past, Sherwood reveals that for much of his later life, he's never been bound to one place.
I grew up in Melbourne, so that's where I'm originally from, in Melbourne. But I got out of there, and then I moved to Perth in 91. I stayed in Perth for 3.5 years, and I was a real estate agent in Perth. And then from Perth, I moved to Sydney, and then I moved to Bangkok, and then I moved back to Sydney in 2004.
Finding a job straight after high school, it wasn't until he moved to Perth that he began to work in the property industry.
I went straight into the workforce. My first job was with Medicare.
And was that all throughout Melbourne? You're working for Medicare for that time?
No, I had a lot of jobs. I've had a lot of jobs actually in Melbourne, and that I actually worked in the racehorse industry as well. I used to ride track work down at the place down in Mordialloc called Epsom and stuff. So I did a lot of that, and I did a lot of jobs in Melbourne. And I had an interest in real estate, but not really there. It was only when I moved to Perth that it really kicked in.
Living in Perth for 3.5 years, Sherwood reminisces on how it was there that he bought his first property and why he enjoyed his time as a real estate agent.
It was actually quite fun because I was always a salesy kind of a person, but so I really adapted to it really well, and I got involved in I started in Century 21, but not much was really happening in that agency. The phones would never ring. There was no action. So I moved to another company called Frontline Realty in Morley, and I had really good work there because it was owned by three owners, I think, or three or four. One was a sales manager, the other one was a settlement agent, and the other one was a builder, a developer. So he'd bring all the properties on, and he'd build them, and then we'd market them. So we were quite busy, and we had a good little team around me, and I was the number one salesperson that they had at that time, and I was there for 3.5 years. It was a really good experience. So I got to know a little bit about developing, but I bought a property there as well when I was there in Bicton, down near Fremantle. So I got a bit of a grip on it, but I didn't really know it was going to be how big it is to what it is now in my life. Like it was good, but it didn't twig till I got back to Sydney, really.
He explains that the reason he moved was due to a need for a change in lifestyle.
I travel a lot, and I used to travel a lot to get out of Perth, because even though I loved it and I loved the weather and I loved everything about it, I still needed to travel, and I used to come across to Sydney quite a lot, and for weekends and weeks and things like that. So I was travelling, and then I went on a 6-month holiday around Australia. And so I left there. I went on the train to in the Pacific to Adelaide, then all the way up to Brisbane, and then I flew back to Perth. And it wasn't really the same then. It just didn't give me what I wanted. So then I moved to over here to Sydney.
Thinking to his influences, Sherwood states that gaining interest in property investing happened unexpectedly, rather than from specific influences such as his parents.
They weren't into property at all. They were into business, but they weren't into property. And I wasn't really either, you know. Back in the early days of Melbourne, I sort of wanted to buy a farm and stuff like that, but that all changed. And then I went into real estate, and I had a liking to it, but I didn't really expect that it was going to go off like it has. So it wasn't the vehicle. It was just... It happened in Sydney. The aha moment happened in Sydney, and that's when everything just went. And I started to really investigate property, and then what it can do for you, and the benefits that you get out of it. That was when it went off. But when I was in Perth, I was just basically working. And I, you know, sometimes you do in life, you don't know why you do them, and then afterwards you go, oh no, that's why. You know what I mean? That's what happened.
Not yet experienced with investing, Sherwood shares the story of where his first investment property purchase was in Perth and how he came to sell it.
It was down in Bicton in Fremantle. And at that time, I really didn't know, well, I didn't know what I was doing. And I bought a one-bedroom apartment down there. It was $30,000, 28 or something. It was 28, I think. And I bought that. And then I didn't understand how markets worked and booms and busts. And I had no idea, you know. And then when I moved to Sydney in 94, I just got sick and tired of just adding money into it and paying mortgage and all that. And I wanted more of a freer lifestyle. And I sold it. And the bad part about it is I actually sold it in the boom. Like halfway, it was probably a quarter or halfway into the boom cycle, I sold it. And I remember I couldn't understand why all these people were fighting over this property, you know, because the agent was ringing me, and she was a friend of mine, and she was in real estate as well, because I'd left real estate by that time. And she was ringing me saying, I've got these offers, Mark. They're just all coming in about your property and everything. And I was like, yeah, just sell it. That's okay. And I didn't realize. And she sold it for 74. And I think I had it for... I don't think I had it that long. Maybe I had it for 5 years or something. You
still,
know?
That's a pretty... I mean, it's almost two double its amount that you purchased it for.
Yeah, yeah. But if I had known what I know now, I never would have sold it.
Yeah, you know? That's true. Very true.
But anyway, we all make mistakes.
Despite purchasing the aforementioned property for investment purposes, Sherwood states that at that time, he still had not realised the potential success he could gain from building a portfolio.
The first one I bought in 2007. It had a good tenant, and it was just a good little rental that I had. You know, it was giving me, I'm not sure how much it was giving me a rent a week now, but it was giving me quite a lot of money. And I saw a lot of bargains over there when I was there, but the light bulb really didn't go off for me there, you know. You'd sort of see all these places when you go out and list them and go, oh, that's a good bargain. But you don't really know. And then now you look at them and go, if only I had bought that, you know.
It was only after moving to Sydney that he began looking at investing full-time before successfully purchasing more properties all over Australia.
I purchased quite a lot, actually. And I've got properties in Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane. I'd like to buy back in Perth again. you know, it's probably not the right time just yet, but it's getting interesting. But I want to concentrate more effort into Brisbane at the moment.
Illustrating the importance of appreciating the benefits and lifestyle improvements that an investment can bring you, Sheerwood states why he doesn't like to measure success by the number of properties he owns.
I don't really like to say how many it is. It's not about how many that you own. It's about what those properties actually do for you, you know, and how much income that they bring to you. So it's quite substantial, but I don't really talk about the number or the dollar value. But I live very, very comfortably, very comfortably. I live in a really nice place and in Sydney, 4Ks from the city. And I have a very, very comfortable lifestyle. I travel business, like probably 70% of my trips are in business class. I go overseas, you know, 6 or 7 times a year. I'm always traveling and I don't work. So it's given me the lifestyle that I want and I'm quite happy with that. But I still want to build the portfolio. I still want to do stuff with it. Later on this year, I'll start to do some other stuff up in Brisbane as well. But I'm busy with a lot of different projects at the moment. I'm busy with my mentoring. I'm busy with my options. And that's what's using a lot of my time at the moment, doing those two things. But later on this year, that's what I'm aiming to do.
Coming up after the break, we'll delve further into Mark Sheerwood's journey and what his aha moment was.
This is the big story. This is the major story, the big aha moment that happened to me.
What his mistakes were.
I bought a property which turned out to be a disaster, actually.
And that's next. I'm Tyrone Shum, and you're listening to Property Investory. Are you looking at buying or investing in property? Don't panic. Property is still a great investment. Is it now the time to buy, sell or hold? Find out from Australia's leading industry experts on how to take advantage of today's market. You'll learn the secrets to renovating for profit or gain the knowledge, skills and motivation to invest at the First Home Buyers Masterclass, plus much, much more. Whether you're a new or experienced investor, you can't miss the Sydney Property Buy Expo on the 7th, 8th and 9th of September. Use the promo code PI for a 3-day free pass valued at $50. For tickets and more information, visit propertybuyexpo.com.au. Sheerwood explains that after moving from Perth to Sydney, he worked for multiple companies, unintentionally expanding on his building knowledge before moving into property.
I just went from job to job. I was working in the construction industry, actually. When I came back, I worked for a company that made built-in wardrobes. And then I went to work for a company that did construction information. They sold construction information. And then I worked for it. I remember working for a tender place that issued tenders. And then so it was all about build my building background, you know. And then I worked for a building company, a large building company in Sydney. But I wasn't on the tools. I was in the office and I stayed there for 15 years. So when I started in real estate, I was only earning $60,000 a year. It wasn't a lot of money.
Following his years in the workforce, it was during his time in Bangkok before moving to Sydney for the last time that things had gone downhill.
This is the big story. This is the major story, the big aha moment that happened to me, because when I was living in Bangkok, I was there for 4 years. It was enough, you know. I thought I was going to stay there forever, and I just didn't want to anymore. I still travel there quite a bit, but I just didn't want to live there anymore. So I came back to Sydney and I was broke. You know, I wasn't broke. I was actually nearly bankrupt, actually, because I had a credit card with Commonwealth Bank and it was up to $12,500 and the limit was $10,000. And I remember getting, and I had no job and I had no money and I had no place to live. Right. So I couldn't even get a bond to go into a place because I had no money. And I got to rock bottom. But what I did was in Bangkok was Bangkok is full of little gadgets and different things. So I thought, great, I still want the affinity that I have with Bangkok. So I'll buy all these things. And I bought cushions and Buddhas and statues and pictures and all this sort of stuff. And I thought, great, I'm going to make $1 million. I'll just come back to Sydney and I'll put them in shops and I'll sell them at markets and it's all going to work. And that's what happened. And I went to the Bondi markets and, you know, I set up my store and I paid my money and everything. And as soon as I set up, they gave me this trestle and, you know, I set it up. It was like 6 o'clock in the morning or 7 or something. And then within 10 minutes of setting up, the whole place it was just a nightmare. The rains came down and it wrecked everything and everyone was running everywhere to get all these plastic sheets to put over things. It was a nightmare, you know. And I remember paying that $60 for that store and I thought I was going to make all this money and it turned out to be a disaster.
After feeling like things couldn't get any worse, it was then that Sheward looked into other ways to make a living, finally deciding that investing in real estate might be the way to go.
The lady next door to me at the next door, she was selling recycled clothes. And I said to her, I remember saying, I don't have any money. Like, I've just spent $60 on sitting at a store. And she had to lend me $10 to get back on the bus. I had no money. And I had no money in the bank. I had nothing. And that was my rock bottom. That was my worst moment in my life. And I remember getting on the bus and I was sitting there. I was going, it was raining, I had all this wet stuff everywhere and everything. And I just remember saying, I'm never, ever, ever going to be here again, ever. And that's when I started to, and I thought, okay, something's got to work now. I had no job. I was 1,200 grand in debt. I had nowhere to live and had no money on a bus. So then I started to investigate, how am I going to make money and not work? How is it that, not that I was lazy, I wasn't lazy, I just didn't like the idea of going to work for a boss and him saying, do this, do that, you know, in my time and running my life. And I didn't like all that. So I thought, how am I going to do this? And I started to investigate all these different options that I could do. So I thought, okay, I could buy a business. Okay, great, buy a business. Yeah, run a business. Okay. And I thought, well, if I've got to do that, I've got to be in the business, got to work all these hours, and I can employ manage it, no, I take my profit. And then I started to investigate real estate and I went back to my real estate days and I thought, hang on, they made money out of this, they did this, they did this. And that's when I started to really delve a bit deeper into this and I thought, you know, there's something here, you know. And then I read all these books and I used to log onto webinars and I used to go to these seminars time and time and time again. I was going to 3 or 4 seminars a week or webinars a week, every week for like 3 years. And I just educated myself on how this thing works, where's the engine of it all and how I could shortcut everything. Because all these people that got large portfolios, it takes them a long time to build up to them. And 80% of the people that get into real estate only own one property. So I thought, how is it that all these people can get multiple properties with a minimum of work? So then I started to investigate that a lot more. And then I got my strategy. And then as soon as I implemented my strategy in 2007, it just went crazy to the point where I am now.
But how long from that pivotal moment in Bondi Markets did it take before he implemented his strategy and got to where he is now?
That was in 2004, because I came back in 2004. I came back in March of 2004, and it was about a couple of months after that. It was about July or June or something like that, because it rained and it was winter and it was cold. I remember that. So it was around June or July, and I thought, you know, I've got to do something.
With the desire to leave the workforce and a determination to build his portfolio at a faster rate than usual, Sheward spent the next 3 years educating himself about property.
Because I wanted it to be different, right? I didn't want to be like a normal property investor. It had to be different. I had to shortcut everything because I had a time frame and I wanted to be out by a certain, I wanted to leave work by a certain time. I didn't want to stay there. Even though I liked what I did, I just didn't want to stay in that work. And when I started to see the profit from the fruit coming, it just got me more determined and more determined to get out of there. So I knew I needed to make shortcuts to get me to where I was going to go much faster than what the normal person thought about investing in real estate.
Taking us through the negative property investing experience he's had, Sherwood highlights the mistakes one can make if buying a property without seeing it in person.
I have had trouble with a property that I have. I still own, actually, because I'm not a flipper. I'm a buy and hold person, and I bought a property which turned out to be a disaster, actually, but I still own it, and I've made a lot of money out of it. But it was down in Country Victoria, and I bought it for $81,000, and it was getting $145 a week in rent. And I looked on it on the internet, and I actually studied the town, right? So I actually spent a few years trying to find the right town, find the right place where I wanted to get these little goer properties. And I found the right town, I just didn't find the right property. So I bought this property, and on the figures, it looked really good. And being uneducated and, you know, didn't know what I was doing back at that time, bought it off the internet. So I didn't even see the damn thing. I just thought, yeah, this is great, figures work and all this kind of stuff. And so I bought it. And then I went down to see it, and I remember walking in. It even had carpet in the kitchen, believe it, green carpet in the kitchen. And I remember going through it and I go, what have I done? Like, what have I done? And the tenants that were there for like, they were there 8 years or something, and they were pensioners and stuff. And I thought to myself, I've got to do a reno on here. I knew what I wanted to do because it was actually a development site. It was actually big enough to do a development on, and I've done that now. But they were living in it, and I thought, look, I've got to renovate. So then I started to investigate, how do I do that? I was in the building industry. Okay, I met this guy, and he said to me that, you know, he could help me, and he'd done all these renos, and I didn't check him out. I didn't know what was going on. And I thought, oh, yeah, seems a nice guy. I employed him. Ended up, he didn't have a license. He didn't know what he was doing. I employed him to do A, B, and C, and he did, you know, X, Y, Z, you know, on the property. It was a total disaster. And I had, I paid him $12,000, but it cost me $35,000 to fix the errors that he made on the property and fix it up to a proper living standard. It was horrible. And the matter is still going on, you know. I mean, I've just had a meeting with work cover over it, and there was, you know, asbestos in it that he didn't look after and all this kind of stuff, you know. So it ended up to be a disaster.
In the end, however, with his positive attitude and quick thinking, Sherwood shows us how he managed to turn it around and what all investors have had to do before investing.
Look, the tenants moved out now, thank God, and I've leased it out to some new people, which are great, and I've developed the block and I've built it the back. So it's actually turned out really well for me in the end. But look, you've got to do your homework in this business. You know, you just have to do your homework, because, you know, you don't want to be caught like me. Not only I lost out of that deal emotionally and mentally, but also financially in a big way. But the emotional stuff that I went through with this ex-tenant and the builder was just enormous. I've been to court so many times, it's not funny, over that one property. So do your homework.
On the other hand, Sherwood delves into another aha moment that allowed him to realise the life-changing benefits that investing could have, this time in regards to option contracts.
So with options, you can make a hell of a lot of money in a quick amount of time. And that's what I'm doing now. I'm mentoring people, not only in property investing, but also in options. So I have teams of people in different states, and we do webinars, and we talk about areas where we can target for development sites. And like at the moment, I'm working in Sydney, and my team's working really hard in Sydney. But in the last 10 days, is it 10 days? Yeah, in the last 10 days, I've signed up 1, 2, I've shown up 4 options at this particular place, and there's another 5 options that are ready to go that I'll do on Saturday. And the thing is that 2 of those options are next door to each other. And they're just normal houses in normal streets, but we've done our homework and we've done our sums, and we know what we can get on there. And I've got a meeting with the surveyor and the architect tomorrow to go through how we're going to do all this. But basically, we're going to put units up on there. And I already signed one up last night, which was the connecting one to this one. And on that sale alone, I've already got an offer to buy the options off me right now for $200,000.
Wow.
Right now. And I don't have to do anything to them. Nothing. I don't have to get the DA. I don't have to develop it. All I've got to do is sign the option over to someone, and they're willing to pay me $200,000.
Wow. Okay.
For that one for 2 of them, and I've got another, as I say, 4 or 5 to go.
So, inspired by Mark Sheward's journey, the financial and emotional difficulties, his triumph, and the hard work that led to his amazing aha moment, we'll keep the conversation going in a future episode of Property Investory. We'll discuss his property investing strategy.
You need to know what you're going to buy. You need to know what area you're going to buy.
The personal habits which have been contributing to his success.
When I see something, I just have to do it. It's like having blinkers on, and I just stop everything else in my life, and I just work towards that one goal.
And that's next time in a future episode of Property Investory. Also, are you looking at buying property in 2018? Would you like expert tips and advice on the best ways you can purchase property? Whether you're a new or experienced investor, learn from the experts by downloading the Property Investment Buying Handbook. It contains the best tips and advice from 37 of Australia's leading property experts. Simply visit propertyinveststory.com and subscribe to get your copy right now. Thanks for listening.